people in the past from their food, but we can also find out things from bones and teeth. And Dr. Jane Evans from the Geological Survey in Nottingham has been looking at a site near Stonehenge and looking at not just how it was built and things like that, but the people who were there. And it seems that they brought their own meat with them. But Ben met up with her to find out some more.
Well, what we've done is used strontium isotopes, which can trace the effect of soil composition on your diet, to look at ancient migration patterns in humans and animals.
So why is it that you can use strontium and the different isotopes available to actually find out where things have come from?
Well, strontium basically comes from the rocks. From the rocks it gets into the plants and into the food chain. And the advantage of strontium is that it's basically linked to the age of the underlying rocks. So in Britain, we have a huge diversity of rocks of different ages, and these all tend to give a different strontium isotope signal to the overlying biosphere. And so we can pick this up and make use of it.
And specifically, you've been using strontium isotope analysis for archaeological purposes. Whereabouts were you based?
Well, we've done a lot of the work in and around Stonehenge. And one of the great advantages of the Stonehenge area is that it's based on chalk, the chalky downs. And the chalk has a very distinctive isotope signature. So this gives us a chance to be quite clear about who and what has been raised on the chalk and who that we find buried in the chalk actually had to have come from somewhere else.
And what have you been able to see?
Right, well, in looking at human beings that have been buried around Stonehenge, we found, for instance, that Bronze Age Boscombe bowmen, who are in a grave near Stonehenge, have clearly come from an area that's well away from Stonehenge, and that they all moved during their childhood. So we've got the first definitive evidence of human migration from the human remains, as opposed to extrapolating this from the artefacts that people find in the graves.
So strontium isotope analysis is so powerful that you can actually plot how people have moved throughout the course of their life.
Throughout their childhood, one of the restrictions for humans, not perhaps for animals, but for humans, is that our teeth form in childhood. And therefore, since it's the tooth enamel that we use, we are restricted to looking at where people were during their childhood. But that in its own right can be quite interesting.
And so with animals, can you do the same sort of thing?
With animals, their teeth form in a slightly different way, and particularly with grazing animals, their teeth are forming through to the animal's maturity. So you can actually track the history of the animal's grazing into a later period of its life relative to a human. So some of these animals that we've looked at do appear to have grazed in areas quite well distant from the chalk where their remains are found.
So what do you think this says about the area where the remains were found? Was there something special that attracted people and their animals?
Well, I think there are a number of things. I think the interesting thing about the animals first is that they're not all local. So first of all, we can immediately say we're not dealing with a small local feast. Neither are we dealing with a place where people come from far away, but animals and meat are supplied by local suppliers. We're looking at a situation where people are bringing animals from quite distant places and quite disparate places to this site. And by that very observation, it appears it must have significance and importance. And Durrington Walls itself is a huge site. So, yes, it must be that it has some meaning for these people, and that these people from different parts of Britain are communicating and contacting each other and drawn by the same set of principles and desires to come to this place.
So a technique of geological origin, looking at the strontium isotopes in rocks, allows us not only to use this as an extra tool for archaeology, but also to learn something about our social history.
Yes, I find that the very attractive side of this, that you can go from a bunch of bones to Neolithic communication.
So, a technique from geology, crossing disciplines to tell us a story about Neolithic life in Britain. That was Jane Evans from the NERC Isotope Geosciences Lab in Nottingham.
Thank you, Helen. This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith.